My guest at this time is former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. He is now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. He has also publicly endorsed Ted Cruz for president. So we wanted to get his reaction to Cruz's record vote haul in Monday's Iowa caucuses, where Cruz finished first, Donald Trump second, Marco Rubio third, and then a pretty big gap between them and the rest of the field. And Mr. Attorney General, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Yeah, good to be with you, Greg.
Well,
it was a great outcome last night.
The polls in the punditry were wrong here. The last Des Moines Register poll, which everyone considered to be the gold standard, had Trump up 5 on Cruz and 13 over Rubio. In the end, it was Cruz by 4 over Trump and 5 over Rubio. And so when you look at what was expected and what happened, what's your reaction?
Well, certainly Ted overperformed what the polls said, but I'll tell you, I was there all weekend. I made 6 hours of phone calls Saturday and door knocked on Sunday. I'm a grassroots guy, and I can tell you, they had a well-oiled machine running there in Iowa. They did a great job. Hundreds, really thousands of people came from all over the country. I met people from all over the country who came and just set up shop for days, weeks, some of them a couple of months, and ground out the kind of one-on-one contact that's needed to win a race. And no other campaign on the Republican side can match that kind of institutional infrastructure. And Ted has been building it all the way into the March states. So this is not, like for Santorum and Huckabee, a one-shot wonder where they put all their chips on Iowa and weren't ready for anything beyond that, weren't infrastructure ready. Ted is ready. And they already have a similar operation running in New Hampshire and South Carolina and beyond Nevada. And I'm in a March 1 state in Virginia. So really a great effort by the campaign. No campaign is perfect, but they came out on top, exceeded polling expectations. Once, not that I'm surprised at that. People didn't want to listen to the errors in the polls, and they were there, and we were right about them. But ultimately, this was decided by the people of Iowa. And it's particularly impressive in such a strong field. This is a really high-quality field of many, many good candidates on the Republican side. For Ted, with so many of those candidates, to get more votes in the Iowa presidential primary than any Republican candidate in history is really extraordinary accomplishment.
Ken,
really speaks well to the message.
Ken, one of the things that was thought to derail him and was certainly an attempt to derail him from the state's own governor, a Republican named Terry Branstad, who said that because Ted Cruz opposed the renewable fuel standard, essentially mandates and subsidies for ethanol, which has kind of been the sacred cow for both parties in Iowa, that he needed to go down. Ted Cruz said that he opposed mandates and subsidies across the board, and ultimately he still won. What message did that send?
Well, it sends a huge message. It's an earthquake to the special interest lobbyists in Washington and the leadership of both parties. So your listeners understand, I mean, Ted Cruz is the first candidate in the history of the world for either party to oppose ethanol subsidies and win the Iowa caucuses. Ever. And he did it against a fairly popular incumbent governor. Governor Branstad was clearly one of the big, big losers last night. He clearly did not derail Ted Cruz. And in fact, there's an argument to be made that with some quarters, he helped. Interesting stat for the day. In the number one corn county in Iowa, Ted Cruz won. So his explanation of no mandates, no picking of winners and losers by Washington really resonated with Iowans. And of course, corn's a big deal to them. But they understand that Washington is broken, and if you're going to give goodies away, like sugar subsidies in Florida, for instance, then you're never going to fix the problem. It's got to be all or nothing, and Ted Cruz has said no more mandates, no more subsidies for any special interest groups, and he just made that message stick last night, and that is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment.
Let's talk a little bit about the expectations game and the punditry that's been involved with this, because as we mentioned, Trump was ahead in the final polls. Even the entrance polls, entrance surveys going into the caucus had Trump with a slight lead. In the end, Cruz wins. But Marco Rubio did quite a bit better than the final polls, and even though he finished in third, a lot of people are calling him the real winner today. So what do you make of how the punditry has handled this leading in and coming out of Iowa?
Well, look, going into Iowa, every single pundit I saw, and that may be as many as a dozen, on CNN and Fox, every single one was wrong. Every single one. Everybody hearing that clearly? Every single one. They don't know any more about this than you or I or anybody else do, and they've never, most of them have never worked on a campaign. They just get caught up in the same narrative and they spit it back out. And what you're hearing with the Rubio piece after the fact is just more media narrative. They all say it to each other and then they turn to the camera and say it. Ted Cruz won last night. Ted Cruz won last night. When Marco Rubio wins a state somewhere, then we'll have something to talk about. But until that happens, Ted Cruz is the front runner now. And as we head to New Hampshire, Donald Trump's in a very strong position. And we'll see what kind of shifting around takes place. Because in the establishment lane, Marco Rubio did well last night. But John Kasich is leading him in, and so is Chris Christie, in New Hampshire right now. So what happens among all the establishment candidates in New Hampshire is going to be probably one of the most interesting subtexts of the next week.
A lot of different voters in New Hampshire than Iowa. How well do you think Ted Cruz can do there?
I think he can do well. I mean, Ted is, you know, he's not a Rand Paul, but he is the most libertarian-leaning of the conservatives, and he's been a consistent conservative. It's a message that, even with people who disagreed with him, and I'll give you an example in a moment, that resonated. When I was door-knocking Sunday, I encountered a Jeb Bush voter. She said, look, I'm a moderate Republican. She declared herself moderate, and she said, and Ted is pretty conservative for me. And I pointed out to her, well, you know, Jeb Bush was pretty conservative governor. And she said, yeah, you know, now that you mention it, that's true. But, and we kind of talked through that. And she said, without me prompting her, but I'll tell you what I like about Ted Cruz is he does what he says he's going to do. And he sticks to his principles. And it's real interesting to hear from someone who starts out the conversation saying, I disagree with him on some things, to say, but I really respect that he stands for what he says he's going to stand for. And that is a very powerful and authentic message that Americans are not used to hearing from people who've already done it. Every candidate gets up there. They're what Ted Cruz calls campaign conservatives. They get up there and tell you, oh, I'm going to be the Statue of Liberty itself and blah, blah, blah. Well, and then they go to Washington or they get elected governor and what have you. And many of them, certainly in this race other than Ted, step back from that. They don't follow through on what they said they were going to do. And it's one of the strongest selling points that Ted Cruz has, is that he has done what he said he was going to do, whether it was fighting against illegal immigration, which has been obviously a sharp flashpoint in this race, or whether it is fighting mandates. And remember this, I mean, that corn mandate, Ted Cruz had a lot of self-interest in just making nice with Iowans, and he did. But not by compromising his principles. He went to them and explained why it was wrong to have the ethanol mandates and that it was better for America to get rid of all of them. And I think it was pretty important that he said all of them. Because, you know, some of the attacks back were, oh, he likes this or that. And he said, oh, no. I'm for getting rid of all of them. Look at my tax plan. It eliminates all the subsidies, all the tax subsidies. And we're going to get rid of the regulatory advantages as well. That kind of fairness, that kind of good populism, not demagogic populism, is a very good thing. It is quite contrary to the Republican establishment, really the Democratic establishment, too, in Washington. That is not a Hillary Clinton message, for instance. She's a corporatist. She is on their side of the aisle, the corporate representative of the Democratic Party, Clinton Inc., and on the Republican side, Ted Cruz is on the other side of that. We want business to do well, and he's got a tax proposal that'll help them do better and grow the economy, but it isn't going to be by giving things away to various businesses and industries and special interest groups. That is over when Ted Cruz becomes president. We're going to start seeing that whittled away, hopefully wiped out.
couple of quick hitters in our last few minutes here, Mr. Cuccinelli. A lot of people obviously looking at Cruz, looking at Rubio based on the attention they're getting after last night. We've obviously seen their immigration dust-ups on the debate stage. How would you define the distinctions between the two?
Well, you know, the differences between them on immigration aren't just about the issue. Both of them campaigned saying the same thing. I'm going to fight amnesty, no citizenship for those who come here illegally. And Marco went and frankly said a lot of other things during his campaign, too. And he went to Washington and he cozied up to the insiders. His staff encouraged him to do that. He doesn't have movement conservative staff when you compare it to Senator Cruz, who has wall-to-wall movement conservatives in his office. And personnel is policy. And when he made that choice, he put himself up there with Chuck Schumer to give citizenship to illegals. And it was Ted Cruz, even Jeff Sessions, who is not endorsed in this race, a leader against illegal immigration, has given Ted credit. But for Ted Cruz, that bill would have become law, the Gang of Eight bill. Ted stopped it. And of all the other things Marco talked about on entitlements and everything else when he was running for the Senate, it was all so inspirational, but he hasn't tried to do any of it. And Ted, running for the Senate, addressed a number of issues, and he has followed up with those positions and pursued them aggressively, even when it costs him, even when it makes him unpopular with the leadership. But frankly, our leadership has been more of a surrendership than a leadership. So it's better for America to have people like Ted Cruz fighting on principles against the leadership of both parties and on behalf of the American people. And that message really resonated in Iowa, and I think it's a message that has a lot of opportunity in New Hampshire. I mean, just imagine this. Donald Trump was attacking Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz was against ethanol subsidies. Well, play that out, that narrative out in New Hampshire, a very libertarian-leaning state. They're not for big government. They're against all that. Well, how's Donald Trump going to defend that position now that he gets to New Hampshire? I don't think Governor Branstad is going to come help him with that.
Last topic, we knew fairly early in the evening that Senator Cruz had won the Republican caucus in Iowa. We didn't know till midday on Tuesday that Hillary Clinton apparently eked out the victory over Bernie Sanders, but certainly not the margin of victory she was hoping for or even expecting until very recently. What do you make of the Democratic outcome and the impact it has on the big picture?
Going to be an interesting impact on the big picture. Clearly, the coronation is not going to happen. She's got a dogfight on her hands, and Sanders is going to eat her lunch in New Hampshire. And that isn't going to be close. She's not going to get within 0.02%. I'm sorry, 0.2% of Sanders the way he did with her in Iowa. The real question is, does Sanders take fire like Obama did with the activists? Who are really his foundation, where she is sort of the corporatist establishment candidate. And that battle on the Democrat side is very interesting. I mean, frankly, if Ted Cruz had that as a one-on-one battle on our side, he'd wipe the floor with an opponent. But there are so many good, strong candidates on the Republican side. It's harder to get out in front of such a big pack. But he's done it on the Republican side. And we'll see what happens in the next week on the Democrat side. It's going to be very fascinating.
Well,
as Ted Cruz called it, the guy who admits he's a socialist and the woman who won't admit she's a socialist.
Well, no rest for the weary. As you mentioned, we're a week away from the New Hampshire primary, and I'm sure you and many other activists will be involved in the days to come as well. Sir, thank you as always very much for your time today.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.